Hi, friend, and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Friends, welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast, where today we are diving into an honest and fun conversation with Dr. Tiffany Urich, PR expert and fellow Texan, on how to land public relation opportunities to grow your brand and deepen your impact. Now, I'm especially excited to have Tiffany on the show today because Tiffany is actually one of my Illume Retreat alums, having joined us at the Illume Retreat in 2019, so in last fall, really. And I am excited for you to get to know Tiffany today because when I think of Tiffany, I think of a very talented, just like incredibly warm-hearted creative who helps fellow entrepreneurs discover and successfully pitch the kinds of stories that make the media and influencers and potential clients just really stop in their tracks and take notice. She is an author, a former TV personality, and a university professor turned PR agency owner. So she really does know that every brand has the potential to get million-dollar exposure, no matter their budget. So Tiffany, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I'm so grateful to get the chance to chat with you about intentional PR strategies and how that can deepen impact.
Oh, Bonnie, thank you so much because you know that I adore you, but I love the community that you are building around your work. And it is really a privilege and an honor for me to get to talk with your community and perhaps open their eyes to some new possibilities for marketing their business and inspire them just a little bit more.
That's one of the things that I always really love about you. It's so clear that through the work that you do and just who you are as a person, you are so focused on using your skills and your talents to elevate others. So I see you as someone who through the PR strategy and work that you do, it's great that empowers your clients to, you know, get certain levels of exposure or hit certain financial goals. But more than that, I see you focused on securing opportunities for them and teaching them how to secure those opportunities for themselves in a way that will allow them to take their work and their message and just make a difference in the world. And I think that's really special.
Oh, thank you. I do love helping other people. And so that's why I'm here today, is to help inspire and to teach.
I love it. So for those who do not know who you are, what you do, would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself and your business?
Sure. Well, you touched on the fact that I have kind of an interesting and varied history in communication, including being a TV personality. And I was a straight A student, but my start was not that auspicious because the first time I got in front of a studio camera, I actually forgot my name and it was on the teleprompter.
Oh my gosh.
So I learned a lesson that day about pushing through embarrassment and using it to get better at what you do. And I like to tell people that if I can have the career that I have had, you can do anything. It's like that quote that, you know, if oats can become milk, you can do anything. If I can forget my name when it's on the teleprompter and then make a career as a TV personality and a professor and a professional speaker, you can really do anything. But in my career, I ended up as a news producer and TV host. I hosted two different interview programs and a travel show. I loved those because it really made me much more aware of the small businesses and the experts in my area, and that they didn't really know how to tell their story as effectively as they could. I was always looking for stories about local businesses, and those that knew how to get their story out invariably got covered more because it was so much easier. But fast forward a few years, and I worked in a variety of different communication roles. I ended up becoming a professor at a top-ranked university. I taught over 1,000 marketers and PR professionals, journalists, producers, podcasters, speakers, and future business owners how to do the work of communications and media strategy. There was a small business in my town, and it was an artist, actually. And she had a child in one of my digital marketing classes. And he asked if he could use her business as his semester-long project. And I said, Sure, let's try it. And it worked out so well that we started bringing in local businesses and organizations to give the students an actual organization to work with when they did PR or digital marketing or content development or website design. And it was win-win. My students had incredible opportunities to do actual hands-on work that built their portfolio, but the businesses got serious help that they maybe couldn't have afforded from an agency. And so it kind of started to draw attention. We got lots of people contacting us to see if they could work with one of my classes. One of them was a really famous international nonprofit that said, hey, can we get you to do, you know, a PR strategy for us? So they would come, we would work on their strategy, getting them media coverage, helping them create content, create good user experiences online. And even though I had been dreaming for years of my own business, it never really clicked or connected that I had a skill set that, you know, people could use or needed. I was just thinking in the mind and the heart of a teacher that I wanted to create these experiences for my students. But at the same time, I saw some people really close to me, families who were struggling to make ends meet, to get a business off the ground, to try to create a business that in a practical way paid the bills, but let the parents stay at home, build a family, you know, spend time with their kids, and businesses that didn't just completely strangle out the life and the joy of the work they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I kept looking at that going, surely something can be done to help. I remember having a conversation with someone very dear to me who said, I want to get this business idea off the ground, but I don't have the first clue how to get it out there. And I thought, you know, I have a PhD. I research this. I write about this. I publish about this. Mm-hmm. Surely I can do something. So I started just kind of talking with people and trying to help businesses kind of in a casual way to create more visibility around their business. And Bonnie, you know this story. I'd been working at this point for 9 years to get tenure at the university, which is like permanent job security for a professor. Mm-hmm. It was a Thursday when I got my letter that I'd earned tenure and I was leaving for spring break. I spent that week, you know, just kind of in tumultuous thought and prayer and discussion about the future. When I came back a week later, I resigned my tenure. So probably the shortest academic tenure in the history of universities. But all of that experience really brought into clarity that as much as I loved my students in the classroom setting, it was time to help more people and to get that message out to people who weren't in the colleges and weren't going to work in the agencies. And so I left and launched this idea, you know, of a business and kind of a nebulous idea of marketing, PR, media training. But then I went to this incredible retreat called Illum in Waco. And while I was talking about this idea of PR, someone there said, you know, my business is too small for PR. How would I even get publicity? And I said, actually, it's pretty easy to get the media to cover you. Just do this and this and this. And then another day, one of our friends we were riding in the B for Bonnie shuttle across Waco, and she said, I want the visibility, but I don't like being the center of attention. Mm. And the girls in the bus can tell you, I was literally bouncing in my seat going, I know what to do. I can help you. Hand raised in the air. I can help you with that. And so that really began shaping the future of the business for me. So shortly after that, I got home. I was listening to a podcast about farming. I live on a farm in a vineyard, and the guy was talking about how he was struggling to get his message of greater self-sufficiency out to a larger audience, that he was kind of a best-kept secret. And I literally said out loud, I know how to do that. So I sent him a direct message and said, hey, being a best-kept secret, it's a great compliment, but it's a terrible business model. Can I call you mm-hmm. and give you some tips on PR and media coverage? And he actually invited me onto the podcast. And that single podcast appearance, that single media feature, increased my email list, my fledgling email list, by 1,067%. Mm. And it taught me a few things that I did, in fact, have a knowledge and a skill that could serve people really well. And Bonnie, you know my story that, you know, imposter syndrome and kind of waiting for permission was something I was struggling with from all the years in that academic setting. And it said, no, I know something that can help people. I also learned that there's so much glamour and smoke and mirrors around PR that people assume it's for big businesses. And when you tell them that not only can they learn how to do their own PR, but show them the power it has to grow a small business, it really intrigues and surprises people. And then it reinforced what I already had decades worth of proof. And that's that PR, publicity, it works, and it works really well. So we started, I started at that point really shifting the focus to PR techniques and publicity in the context of a larger marketing strategy. And people have been amazed at what happens when they can get and use a simple system.
I love that. You know, I am all about a system that you can implement to empower you to reach your goals. But I'm curious, something that I hear among the industry is when it comes to PR and public relations, I think that sometimes we get PR a little bit confused with other tools like marketing or advertising that we can benefit from. So since you are a PR expert, how would you really break down the difference between publicity and advertising? What does that look like?
Bonnie, you're absolutely right. There is kind of a confusion about what is what within this grand scheme of marketing or media or communication strategy. And part of the problem, or the way that it's exacerbated, is that depending on who you talk to, they use different terms. Communication is a very porous industry, meaning we take in ideas from all over, but there's also not a lot of structure in the way that ideas have developed over, you know, generations, literally. And so depending on who you talk to, what one person might call PR, another person might call marketing. But I like to explain it this way. When you look at your communication strategy or your marketing strategy, sometimes we get this very fragmented idea and we say, oh, I do Facebook ads. That's my strategy. Or I do blogs. That's my strategy. Or I am like killing the Instagram algorithm. That's my strategy. Those aren't strategies, really. Those are what we would consider tactics. Mm-hmm. And when you can see the bigger picture of the actual strategy and all the pieces and parts, you have a better idea of how to move through different tactics at different times to get the results that you want. And so when I explain it, I like to explain that there are really four parts, especially in the digital world, but four parts of a strategy. You can either call it PR, you can call it marketing. And that's paid, shared, owned, and earned. So paid media is where you are buying space, advertising space. Shared media is anything that you create the content, but you don't have control over the platform or distribution. So that's Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, you know, your social media post. Mm-hmm. Owned media is the media that you create and you have more control over the platform and how it's distributed. So this is your blog, your podcast, your YouTube channel. And then the last is earned media. And earned media is what we call publicity or media coverage. And it can take a lot of variations. And a lot of times people actually confuse public relations with publicity. Publicity is one branch of PR, but PR is really something that is kind of everything. It's everything you say or do. And we can talk more about that if you like. But when we talk about publicity or media coverage, it can take lots of variations. So this can be an editorial or a magazine feature about you or your brand or your product. It can be an interview on a podcast or a TV segment. It can be a roundup. So let's say that you have a product and you want to see it in Real Simple Magazine. You know, that would be part of a product roundup. That would be publicity. It can be a guest contribution to your favorite online media outlet or blog. And even influencer collaborations will sometimes be classified as an element of PR. And these distinctions matter because they achieve different results at different times in your marketing strategy. And because people subtly understand the differences between the different kinds of media, even if they don't necessarily understand why they know those differences. So everybody knows that anyone can publish a blog post. Anyone mm-hmm. can buy an ad. And we're really savvy. You know, consumers are very savvy. They know anybody can buy an ad. But not everyone can get the media to feature them. And even big brands don't get media publicity every time they want it. And so what that means is that there's kind of a line of exclusivity that suddenly you've reached a new elevated kind of brand reputation because a third party has vetted you and said, what you do is good. And what you do matters, and it's good quality, and you're really, truly an expert in this field. And so it's something that it's a little harder to get, but the return is significantly greater. So just to give you kind of a difference between ads and publicity, because those are the two things that I see get confused a lot. Mm-hmm. For an advertisement, we're talking about something that is pay to play. So you pay to get your ads placed. You have a guaranteed reach and placement, but you're also limited in how far that ad goes. When you run out of advertising money, you run out of ads and reach. Publicity, on the other hand, is free. True publicity is free. It doesn't cost you anything. You aren't always guaranteed that you'll get it, but there are strategies that you can take to make that happen much more often and much more predictably. But the real key here is that publicity is unlimited in reach. Basically, what you've done is you've taken your brand and you've hooked it up to an organization that has a whole team and resources. They've done market research and they're doing everything in their power to get their content out to as many people as possible, as many new audience members as possible, and for as long as they can keep the long tail of that piece of media content writing, they will continue to publish it and push it out. If you've hooked your brand up to that kind of, you know, media machine, you get to actually piggyback on all of the work and cost that they're investing because they need content. And so you mm-hmm. provide the content in some form or fashion. There's lots of different ways to do that. And they will make it unlimited in the reach and the amount of people that you can reach. And a couple other differences. And to me, that's just kind of like magic. It's like compound interest. Exactly. It's magic. Ads require that you have a product or a service. Publicity does not. You know, nobody ever mm-hmm. buys an ad and says, hey, I'm paying for this ad just to let you know I'm an expert. Right. But for publicity, even if you are still dreaming of that business or you haven't made it to full time, you can still start pitching your expertise and build demand and awareness before you ever launch a product or service. And while ads can increase your visibility in a limited extent, publicity can increase your visibility in an exponential sense, and it lends you credibility or social proof. And so when we think about the differences, you know, for instance, like this morning, a Forbes ad cost about $170,000, you know, for a single page Forbes ad. Mm-hmm. But the value, the return on being featured by a Forbes reporter is significantly greater. And the power it has to draw people to your brand and make you a thought leader is difficult to measure.
Mm. This is so fascinating. And like the wheels in my brain are just turning because I can see how, especially for not just established businesses, but like you said, growing businesses, businesses where maybe your work is still something that you're working on the side while you still put in time at your 9-to-5 corporate job. But publicity is something that can benefit you here and now. And so my question for you, Tiffany, when we think about how publicity can be a tool to grow our brands, I want us to also kind of start to factor in that piece of deepening impact. How is publicity a tool that we can use to deepen the impact that our work can make in the industry or even in the world sometimes?
That is such a great way to look at it. A lot of times when someone hears publicity, right, they think of a Kardashian, right? Like, we're thinking of pulling publicity stunts to get higher ratings, and it kind of gets a bad rap, that particular word. But that's really not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is high quality visibility and credibility that lets you get an important message or an idea, a valuable service or a product out to the people who need to know about it. And when you think about brand strategy, so I think your community is very familiar, Bonnie, with your approach to brand strategy. Mm-hmm. It's not just pretty colors and a logo. You do the deep work of understanding a person's passion, their drive, their purpose, and out of that grows a brand strategy. Mm-hmm. Your PR and your publicity are an extension of that deep work of your brand and your brand strategy. And so not only is it giving you brand awareness, creating demand for your product, not only is it, you know, bringing in new customers and creating social proof, it also is giving you an opportunity to create influence and impact and thought leadership. So we think about the media like it's a giant megaphone. You can do so much with your owned media or your shared media or your paid media, but when you can utilize and leverage the power of a larger media outlet, you have a megaphone to get your message out there. A perfect example of this, one of my favorite businesses just to kind of watch and observe the last few years is Florette Flowers up in Washington State. I think anybody in the wedding industry, probably the creative industry, is familiar with Erin Benzikin and the work that she's done with Florette Flowers. And Erin talks a lot about her valuing small businesses, supporting local farms. And she has a message about locally grown blooms and the seasonal flower movement that is really fascinating. Now, if you look at Erin's press page, your head will spin because for more than 10 years, she's been consistently landing media coverage in blogs, in podcasts, in newspapers, in magazines. Now she's got books and now she's got a TV show coming up with Magnolia Network. Mm-hmm. And she's had different messages for different audiences and different launches. But what she has done is used media to consistently deliver her message, whether it's to consumers of flowers, consumers of seed, to other farmers, to potential clients, and to other business owners about her methods and her strategies. And it's worked really brilliantly for Erin. The first time I ever heard the term, the slow flower or seasonal flower movement, was when I heard Erin on one of my favorite podcasts. And she talked a lot about the work that they were trying to do to educate people and have people take a look at where their flowers came from, like they do with their food. It was nothing I'd never thought of that before. Now, Erin's not the first person who has come up with that idea. She's not the only person who's talking about that idea, but she is the name that jumps to most people's minds first when we talk about that seasonal flower movement and locally grown blooms. And she has really been able to shape the conversation and the way people think about where they get their flowers and how event designers, and coordinators and florists are sourcing things. You're talking with brides about how they're sourcing things. And so because she has leveraged, and full disclosure, Erin's not a client of mine. She's just someone who I think has really mastered this. Erin has really been able to shape the conversation and get people thinking and talking about a topic that most people probably have never thought about. And so that's the power of a media outlet or publicity to deepen your impact. One of my clients is a makeup artist, and she has also been able to use publicity to, in a season where getting out and doing events and makeup for events hasn't been as viable as it usually is. She's been able to quickly and very nimbly pivot and switch gears, and she teaches other makeup artists how to grow businesses. But we've been able to quickly look and say, okay, how can we reach a different audience, a different market? And so a message that she's been passionate about for a very long time about sanitation and cleanliness, not only for professionals, but in your own home makeup kit, is now something that's getting a lot of action and a lot of notice. She's been talking about it for a long time, and now she's got the megaphone and the platform to be able to share that in a bigger, broader way. And so when you're passionate about something, you really can use the media to get that message out there. And my big philosophy with this is service before celebrity. Look at how you can serve people. Look at the message or the product or the expertise or the service that will really do a great service and help to people, and build from there. When you do that, the celebrity, the awareness, that comes along in the wake. It's one of those great outcomes. But look at how you can help people. So that's kind of my approach to using media for impact.
I love that. And I'm just over here like emphatically nodding my head along as we're talking about focusing on service over celebrity, focusing on the impact over maybe the fame or the notoriety. And that's something that I think I resonate with deeply because, well, for anyone who's been a longtime listener of the podcast or who's maybe followed me on social media for a while, you probably know at this point I am a 2-wing 1 on the Enneagram. My heart is very much centered towards others and helping others and supporting them as they pursue their unique definitions of success. So I get just really excited when I think about how publicity can be a tool that really just allows people to do what they do consistently and help others learn about what they do so they can help as well. But before I get like too far off on that tangent there, one thing that I hear from some of the people in my community, I hear a lot of people kind of saying that, well, Bonnie, I'd love to book more clients, or I'd love to, pursue this growth in my business, but I don't have a big audience. I don't have a lot of Instagram followers. I don't have the coveted K or the swipe up. And so they kind of through that thinking automatically take themselves out of the running. I'm curious, in your opinion, do you believe that we need to already have large audiences in order to capture the attention of media outlets? Or is that just a myth that we're all unintentionally buying into.
Oh, that is such a great issue to talk about. Yes, it's a myth. I'll just, you know, say it right now.
I love it.
So, I mean, just let me tell you my own experience. I recently was interviewed by a Forbes reporter. I think I don't even have like 300 people on my Instagram, and it's okay because, again, those are tactics. And for me, Instagram at this point in my business has not been an important tactic to get where I'm going. Does that mean that I don't think I should do it? No. It just means that, you know, when I have to make some choices about where I'm going to spend my energy, I have other tactics, other, you know, parts and pieces of the strategy and activities that for my business leverage more. They do more work for me. So right. No, you don't have to have a huge following. Now, you will find people. I find this really common with smaller blogs and some podcasts that they're using the interviews or the guest contributions that they have in order to, you know, get their brand out to bigger audiences. So you will sometimes see a podcaster that's like, hey, you've got to have 20,000 people before I'll interview you. And that's totally fine. That's their prerogative. But what I found is that really high quality publicity and media coverage doesn't worry so much about your following. They want some evidence that you do, in fact, know what you're talking about. But most of them aren't looking at the number of LinkedIn or Instagram followers that you have, anything like that. And so what I tell people is that there's this big, huge misconception. It's like one of two misconceptions. One, I don't have enough people or enough followers and enough business to get publicity. And to that I say, actually, you're right where you need to be to get publicity and make it work for you. Because if you will get a simple system and a strategy, put it in place and take action, you will begin to get the notoriety and the awareness and the clients coming in. You know, I don't know of a single marketing strategy that is an overnight success. If you do this, you know, you meet all of your business goals in 2 days.
Right.
But and although I can tell you some really interesting stories about some PR appearances and what has happened with people when they use it. But if you can play sort of the long game and think in terms of cumulative effort, if you are willing to start reaching out and asking for that coverage at a small phase or before you even have a customer, I had my first publicity before I ever had a paying client. You will find that it begins to drive traffic back to your business. And the other big misconception that I see is if I'm good at what I do, people will find me or the media knows I exist and they'll contact me if they need me. Also, not true, my friend. Just like it's not your customer's job to find you, it's not the media's job to find you. You really have to be proactive. And if you see another business, we've probably all experienced this, where we see a business we've never heard of before, and this brand suddenly comes out of nowhere. You see them everywhere. They're cornering the market. Everybody's talking to them and about them. You see them in all these media outlets, all your favorite podcasts, your favorite magazines or online blogs or whatever it is. And you go, man, they're just like, wow, all these people are reaching out to them. That didn't happen accidentally. And it didn't just like happen overnight because everybody heard about this name all at once. What happens is they have a strategy. They have a system and they are working it. And because they're working that simple system, they are elevating their brand and they're generating brand awareness. So if you see somebody that looks like they've come out of nowhere and it's a small business and you're like, where did they come from? It's doing exactly the job it was meant to do to get everybody looking at them and get their eyes on that brand. And you don't have to be a big business, but you do have to ask for it.
I love that. I feel like if we're like pulling quotes from this conversation, that's the one that I want to pull. Like asking for what you want instead of expecting it to just fall in your lap, which if I'm totally honest, I have been completely guilty of that mindset many times in my life, many times in my business.
Me too.
Right. It's totally natural. But when we take that proactive action, we ask for what we want and we go out there and make it happen. That's when we start to see the results we want to see.
It is. And I tell people all the time, I say, people say, I feel like I'm a best kept secret. Like I feel if more people, I'm really good at what I do. And if more people just knew it, my business would be doing better. And I tell them, being a best kept secret, it's a great compliment. It is a terrible business model. So let's get out there. Let's get people talking about your brand.
I'm here for it. So What are some of your favorite strategies? And of course, I don't want to, you know, we don't have to like dive into all of them, but what are maybe one or two strategies that come to mind that you love to share with people when they're just getting started with generating publicity?
Okay. So the first thing I would say is if you are kind of afraid to do this and you're like, oh, I don't really know if I want to do this or not, it's really so simple. A simple way to do this is simply to reach out and introduce yourself to a media professional who covers the kinds of stories that might be talking about your business. Now, here's a big key. This is kind of tough love. The media doesn't care about your business. They don't care if you win or succeed or what, but what they do care about is valuable content, high value content that serves their audience well. And right now where we are consuming more content than we have in the human experience combined, and we're seeing fewer and fewer people on staff in media organizations, there's a desperate need for good content. So if you can create a fantastic pitch and offer it in a way that makes it really easy for that media professional to say yes, you give them what they need, you will find that it becomes very easy to get publicity very quickly and consistently. So one simple way you can do this is just to reach out and introduce yourself. You find someone that covers the kinds of stories that are similar to your business and what you do and what you talk about or what you sell, and just introduce yourself. This is especially effective if there is a relevant topic coming up. So for instance, let's say that you paint pet portraits. Okay. I know someone who that's her entire business. She paints like Renaissance style pet portraits. They're amazing.
That is so fun.
I know. It's so fun. You're a dog lover. I'm a dog lover. So she paints pet portraits. Let's say that National Pet Day is coming up. And so you just reach out to a reporter who does kind of that fun community or family or animal beat or whatever. And you reach out and you just introduce yourself and say, hey, here's what I do. Just wanted to, you know, tell you that National Pet Day is coming up on whatever day. If you need any insights on pet lovers or a way that you could maybe commemorate a lost pet, I'm happy to send you some info, provide you some quotes. And if you can include a link to a press kit, you may get some good opportunities from that. So that's a simple way. It's not always the most reliable, but it is a simple way just to get the party started, if you will, and make an introduction. But a better way is to actually provide the story concept and the assets so that you make it really easy for that media pro to say yes. So I'd call this gold mining for great stories in your business. And there are many different places and aspects of your business where those amazing story concept ideas are hiding out. And there are specific kinds of stories the media goes crazy for because their audiences go crazy for them. And you'll hear me say there's lots of things that I say are favorite parts of my work, but this really is a favorite part of my work. And it's helping entrepreneurs deep dive into what I call those story gold mines that are hiding in their business. So to get started with this, there are many different ways to do this, many places to look. But here's a really easy acronym for you to remember. And this is the part of the class where you take out your notes. I'm just kidding. This is where my professor side comes out. But I want you to remember your lines. So the L in lines means local. This is anything that has to do with the locality of your business or your brand. Let's say that you make amazing all-natural beeswax candles, and all of the wax you use comes from farms and beekeepers that are within a 100-mile radius. So that starts getting your brain thinking about the local side of your business. So anything that you do that has what we call proximity, it's something called newsworthiness. And Bonnie, I know you're familiar with this from some of your own academic background, but newsworthiness is what makes your business newsworthy. And anything local will be newsworthy to a local media outlet. The I is impact, and this has a really broad spectrum of the kinds of stories that you can pull out. So impact can be the impact that your product or service or expertise has on your clients and customers. So it can be a small impact on a lot of people, a big impact on a very small number of people, but it can also be where you are really passionate and focused on making a difference in the world. So if there are causes that you work on, if there are programs that you participate in, so maybe you work with a scholarship program or a children's organization, if there are other philanthropic adventures that you participate in, or your business proceeds, you know, go to some organization where you're making an impact. These are all the kinds of stories that fall within that impact part of your storyline. So the N in lines is new. Anything that is new, innovative, or disruptive. And so if you have new products and new services, if you're doing something really innovative or different in your industry, or if you have found a disruptive way to do something that makes the product or the manufacturing or the experience better, or you have a new, unusual, innovative, or totally different way, or even controversial way of looking at an issue, these are the kinds of stories that the media wants to hear. The E is for expertise, and this is anything that has to do with where you are knowledgeable and skilled and where you help people. So what do you know about? What experiences have you had? What's your journey and your story? What have you learned that you can teach? What have your clients, your customers learned that you can share? And so we look at expertise. And then the S in lines is seasonal. And so that's anything that deals with a particular time frame. So maybe this is Christmas and you have products that you want to get in all of the Christmas roundups, and gift guides. Maybe you do something that is about back to school, or maybe, you are a workplace expert and you want to talk to moms and dads about how to make their home office work with their homeschooling. This is a story that we have been hearing a lot. So anything that is tied to a season or a day, or a holiday, these are all seasonal aspects. There's lots of other ways that we can strategize and create publicity for our business, but those are some good places to start. So remember your lines. What I love about this is when you start getting in the zone of looking at story gold mines, a couple of things happen. The first thing that happens is that all of your content creation process, if you create a lot of content, flows out of really fantastic pitches. So when you go through the process that I teach students to come up with all of these fantastic storylines, one of the, sort of key requirements of a great media story is that it be a little bit different or unusual or a little bit new or something that we haven't just heard the same thing over and over again, or a twist on something familiar. When you get your brain thinking in that direction, that it has to be just a little better, more innovative, more unusual, and really high quality, it trains your brain to look for innovative, high quality, unusual takes on your industry. That means that the work that you do to create stories to pitch now flows down into your podcast, your YouTube episodes, your blogs, and those now become a little more high quality. Those become more innovative, unusual, and you're developing a unique voice. That flows down into all of your social media. And so I teach this flow down method where we start with our pitching content, and that transforms the quality of all of the content that we create underneath it. So that's the first thing that it does. It really helps you get a better idea of how to develop a unique voice that makes you stand out in a saturated market. The second thing it does is that as you are training your brain to look for those opportunities, many people find that it helps them start making bolder and more creative decisions in their business because you're beginning to get a better look at the gaps in the market that you can fill.
That is so fascinating. I think that oftentimes, at least in my opinion, when I think about PR or publicity, I think about kind of the end product, right? I don't spend, and probably this is, I'm sure that you hear this from a lot of people who are not experts in this industry like you are, but a lot of the time we think about the end product. So what it will look like to have that feature, or what it will look like to maybe be interviewed on the local news or something like that. But when we think about the prep work that goes into securing those opportunities, but then also the trickle-down effect of how that prep work can transform the quality of content that we are sending out through those strategies, like the podcast, Instagram, blog, all of that great stuff, I think that's just something that is packed with a lot of possibility for every entrepreneur. So I get excited about that.
Oh, I'm so glad. I get excited about it too.
So once we secure these opportunities for publicity, what are steps that we need to take to prepare our businesses for all those eyes to suddenly be upon us?
Sure. Well, actually, a lot of the prep that you do to get the publicity takes care of all of the afterwards part of it. Mm. So much of your prep comes before you secure opportunities, from gathering assets to researching your outlet and the person you're pitching to and writing your pitch. The good news is that does not have to take much time. In fact, I have shown people how to literally be up and running with a full-fledged full-fledged system in 2 or 3 days. And you can even do it in less time than that. Once you get your basics in place, you can just whip out pitches whenever you're prepping to launch. When you see an opportunity in the news cycle to speak into a story that you're an expert about, if you just want to provide new value for your community, it really becomes a simple and a fun rhythm to get into. But what we really start with is developing first your press kit at the beginning and some of your key brand messages. And after that, there's a lot of creative brainstorming. These are things that I love working with my students and my clients through, you know, figuring out how we're going to meet the needs of the media and their audiences and provide great value for our businesses as well. But once you do secure a feature, you want to make sure that you're leveraging it to get the most impact out of your efforts. Sometimes I'll have someone say, hey, I got a feature once and it didn't really do anything for my business. And I'll begin to question them, you know, what was the outlet? Who was their audience? What was your message? And what did you do with that feature to leverage it? And invariably, they will, you know, say, well, I didn't really know I needed to do any of that. And so what we can do is we can go in and say, here's how to pick the right publicity, because not all media coverage is equal and not everybody needs the same kinds of media coverage. So we want to know, what is your goal? What are you trying to achieve? From there, then we can make some decisions about the messages that you need to be developing, who you need to be pitching to. Once you secure that, now we can begin to leverage it in ways that are going to be really powerful ways to get repeated benefit from that coverage, not just for weeks or months, but literally for years, in improving social proof, creating additional content for you. And it really begins to create this snowball effect that gets you more and better publicity. And because it really is such a simple process, I have a short training called Before You Pitch. It's sort of a press kit in a day training. It's a very tiny taste of the work we do in my program, Publicity for Impact. And I use it with my one-to-one mentor and consulting clients. And that's something that I would love for your community to have. I know that your work has made a huge difference in my life and my business. And so that's something I want to share with the rest of your community for free. I think that they'll really enjoy that and they'll see just how simple it can be.
Oh, Tiffany, thank you so much. That is such a generous offer. And absolutely, I will make sure that in the episode show notes for today's episode, people will be able to find that link. And so friends, if you're tuning in and you are as excited as I am for you to get your hands on Tiffany's press kit in a day training, if you go to brandstrategypodcast.com and then click on the show notes for today's episode, you will find that handy dandy link. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Tiffany.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So one question that I always ask on every single episode of the Brand Strategy Podcast all centers around the unique and special encouragement that you would share to listeners today. And my hope is that those who've been tuning in today, maybe at the beginning of our conversation, they were thinking that publicity and PR sounded nice. Maybe one day they'd be able to have that within their reach. And so I'm hopeful that at this point in our conversation today that they are seeing how deepening their impact through publicity opportunities is well within their grasp and is something that they can begin to take action on today. So to those people, what kind of encouragement would you share to them as they get ready to leverage publicity to deepen their impact in the world?
Bonnie, from someone who is saying this from the very depths of their own heart and experience, don't wait for someone else to give you permission to start doing that. No one's going to. And don't wait until you have the bigger business, you're making more money, you have more followers, you think you have more to say, because that day may never really come. It's difficult to measure, you know, when you've, quote, made it. There is some outlet out there that has readers and audiences that need to hear what you have to say. And there are areas of knowledge and expertise, products and services that you can speak to them. You can make a difference. You can make the world a better place. You can make your corner of the world a better place. And so think in terms of service. How can I serve a greater number of people? And how can that in turn help me build the business that I love and that I'm dreaming of? So don't wait for that. Create a strategy, act on it, and keep in mind too that it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You don't need an agency to do that for you. It's absolutely something that you can learn to do for yourself. But keep in mind, I think at the heart of great publicity is a person who has a heart for service to help other people and to take the passions and the desires of their business, the things that they want to build and grow, and use that to extend it, to use that microphone, get it out to lots and lots of people, and really see the work, their work, serve a bigger amount of people. It's so possible. It's so within your reach. So just give it a try.
That is such amazing advice, Tiffany. And I feel like that goes hand in hand with what you said earlier about not being afraid to ask for what you want and take action towards that end goal. So at this point, I know that people are going to want to know how they can hang out with you and where they can find you online. So where can people go to connect with you after this?
Perfect. Well, if they want to see more about what we do and how we help entrepreneurs, because we have a full scale of do it yourself, do it with you, and do it for you services, they can visit my website at tiffanyurich.com. And I grew up in a world where I have to spell my last name all the time. It's E-U-R-I-C-H, and it's Tiffany, like the jewelry store. Although, Bonnie, one time I did tell somebody Tiffany liked the jewelry store, and he called me Kay for the rest of the call. True story.
No. Yeah.
So it's tiffanyurich.com, and you can learn more about what we do there. And you can also hang out with me on Instagram at Dr. Tiffany Urich.
Awesome. And friends, remember that you have access to Tiffany's Press Kit in a Day training completely for free. You can access that at her website, www.tiffanyurich.com/Bonnie. But you also can go to brandstrategypodcast.com and click on the episode for today and access the show notes for everything we've talked about. So that will not only include this link to Tiffany's free gift, but it will also include all of her social links where you can connect with her and also some recaps from our biggest talking points from today's conversation. So, Tiffany, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've loved getting to have this conversation with you, and I am so excited to see how people take your experience and run with it and go out and have such an impact in the world around them.
Thank you, Bonnie. This is absolutely the highlight of my day, getting to talk with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise from me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.